In this short podcast, we're releasing the audio from Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey's exit interview press conferences on Friday, so you have a chance to listen to their comments in full. Rich and I will be back for a full podcast in the next day or so, breaking down the Sixers' sudden, infuriating, and quite frankly, unacceptable end to a once promising season. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, we're sick. We're here. We have big aspirations. I know our fans do as well for the team, for us. Josh and David have huge aspirations, and that's why we're here. That's why we do this. So it's tough to be here right now. Still emotional. You know, Doc met with the team and the locker room, and that'll stay there, but it was an emotional locker room. And look, we're excited about what we can build from here. We think a lot of things that we can improve on, and that's on myself, that's on Elton, that's on Coach Rivers. We're gonna figure this out. But we feel like there's a lot to build on. We've got Tyrese Maxey, who I think took a huge leap, has been beating expectations, you know, since he got to the league and before it, and puts the work in. Tobias Harris, you know, I thought we got some of his best basketball. Joel is playing the best basketball of his life and obviously went through some challenges that was a warrior. We think a full year of James, we can unlock what he brings us. That said, we know we have to improve. Elton, the staff, we got our work cut out for us. Credit to Miami. Look, they brought it. I mean, I think the best organizations take a step back and learn from our losses. Those guys have been building for years. They've done a tremendous job, so credit to Miami. And you know, it hurts to have to lose to them, but they really went out there and took it. And we need some of that toughness. We need, you know, a lot of what we saw from them. And look, we can do it. We've got a lot of resources. We've got a lot of flexibility. Josh and David give us, you know, every ability to go out and do what we need to do. And that's why right now hurts a lot, because we know the fans' expectations, our own expectations for ourselves, everything's being provided, and we did not achieve what we want, which is a championship. And we're not afraid to talk about it. That is the goal. We have one of the best, if not the best player on the planet. And we have to do more, all of us. And yeah.
You want me to talk now after that?
All right. I was pretty long there. Sorry.
No, I'm joking. It's I agree. Like, our goals haven't changed at all. I took this job because I believe that we can turn this organization and change the culture. In this organization, I think we're doing that, and change the team into a championship team. As I said last night, winning's hard, but you have to be willing to go through it. You have to be willing to climb the mountain. You have to be willing to fall and get back up and keep climbing. And then that's your goal as an organization. So for me, nothing has changed in that goal. You know, there's no guarantee you're going to win the first year, the second year, the third year, but you want to. Man, I told our guys today, don't be shy of saying that. That there's nothing wrong with voicing to yourself that you want to win. And your goal is a championship. I think a lot of coaches are scared of that. A lot of teams are scared of that. I want us to not be. Same thing with our fans. Our fans are thirsty for a winner. They're no more thirsty than me. They're no more thirsty than all our players. and we match their thirst. We really do. And so, you know, as I say to them every year, you open your heart up as a team and as a coach, and knowing that there's a chance, and you know, statistically, there's a greater chance that it's going to get broken, but it's worth the risk. And that's the best part of my job. It really is that the chase and to get it right. You know, I obviously know how that feels, and that burns me more to get it again. And that's what we're on the chase for to do. So very proud of a lot of our guys, you know, our young guys, and Joel, and, you know, there's weaknesses clearly that we have to improve as a team, and we're not going to run from that either. And we're going to try to get that right as well.
Doc, you said there's weaknesses that you guys have to improve. What are those weaknesses?
Well, that's something we'll talk about. You know, Keith, obviously, you know, the toughness word has come out a lot, I guess, over the last 24 hours. I haven't read a lot about it, but I've heard that. And so clearly that's one of them. But we got to get a lot of things, more talent. We got to get the right fits. But we'll do that, and I believe that.
What do you think the major reason why you guys lost this series?
We just need to improve. I mean, it's almost like too hard to answer. So we have to take a step back, work with Doc, work with Elton, work with the staff, and figure out what's most important to address. But look, we got beat by a very good team. I think it's one that, you know, yeah.
We also got beat by a very good team when our best player out the first two games. I don't know how that's, like, forgotten about, you know. And I don't know if Joel was ever right again with the thumb, with the face. He was fighting a lot. So I get that, too.
Daryl, a lot of these guys are talking mental toughness, things like that. I know that's not really exactly something you can just kind of fix in a gym or anything like that. So just, I guess, from your perspective, I guess, Coach, you can chime in as well, is how do you kind of fix mental toughness to move forward?
Well, I think it's something that our players can grow. I mean, going through losses and how you respond to that and how you take it as your own, you know, look in the mirror. I think we all need to look in the mirror and say, how can we each be better? And I know our coaching staff does a great job. They challenge our players to do that. And, you know, Joel goes out and has been better every year since I've been here and over his career. Tyrese, like, each guy can look and say, how can they be better? And that goes for myself as well. And it could come from internal improvement or it could come from acquisitions. And I think we have flexibility in free agency, trade, resources that are provided to us by Josh and David. And, you know, we'll do whatever we need to do to make it better.
Daryl, obviously you have a long history with James. And bring him in here, I guess, how do you evaluate what he was able to give you from February onward, and, you know, what kind of conversations have you had with him in terms of what it's going to take to both keep him here and, you know, obviously under Doc, get to the guy that I think you guys probably thought you were acquiring?
Yeah, I mean, we're excited about what he can bring. Obviously, you know, to Coach's point, a lot of this came together pretty late, and a full off season, a full training camp, a full time where, you know, everyone can learn to, you know, to unlock, like, how good everyone can be together. That said, I don't want to minimize. There was a lot of good. Joel and James, Tobias, Maxie, that group played very well together. We can play even better. And so we're excited about what that can look like in the future.
Daryl, it's a question I get a lot.
I thought you were supposed to raise your hand. And
I
then...
did.
Oh, okay, good, good, good. Okay, just a second.
I'll do it when I ask the second one.
Yeah.
It's a question I get a lot. and it's a tough question to ask, but can you assure the people of Philadelphia and us here that the head coach will be back next year?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Now a different question.
Okay.
You get one.
All right.
Go ahead, what do you got?
Number system. All right, the second one is, you know, the coach is graded and looked at on results. In the last
We all are.
Okay, so how would you grade yourself on the results of this team, and it's the same result for two straight years?
We didn't win the championship, so that's the goal, and we didn't meet it. Grading is up to you guys. You guys can grade us however you want. So,
Doc, you've given us a little bit of a look inside your relationship with Tyrese over the last couple of years, and the players have told us a lot about how many voices he had in his head early in the season and how lost he might have seemed early in the season. When you reflect, though, on the season that he had as a whole, how proud are you of him, and how proud are you to be part of the journey that he's on?
Yeah, you know, I'm proud of all our guys, honestly. Whether they reach their expectations or not, I, as a coach, you judge them on their effort. You know, Tyrese has a chance to be a special kid. You know, I'm sitting at home last night at 1 a.m, phone rings and it's him. And so.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Thank you. Daryl, one for you that I asked Doc last night. I know you've watched Joel for a long time. You've admired him for a long time. But what new did you learn about him watching him play through the amount of injuries and adversity that he's experienced over the last couple weeks?
Yeah, the fact he'll put the team first. You know, again, a lot of guys don't play with those injuries. You know, I think, to be fair to everyone on the roster, a lot of guys at this time of year are playing through a lot, but, you know, it was, for me, it was clearly affecting him. And, you know, he had to be out there and came back, led us in games 3 and 4, and yeah, disappointing that we didn't go.
I want to add with Joel, it's just, you know, you feel awful for him, honestly. Like, you know, last year in the series in Washington, you know, he comes down wrong. And he was never really the same after that. Right when the thumb happened, I'm a realist. You knew that was going to be a struggle. Like, your right hand, your thumb literally has nothing to keep it in place. I mean, it literally flips back if you try to pass the ball. And then getting hit in the face on top of that. I just, you know, sometimes, you know, it's a lot of skill, but you also have to have good fortune to win. You have to have good health to win. And for your best player 2 years in a row to have to go and play in the playoffs and not being right is difficult. It really is. And that's where, obviously, we need to just make sure we support them and keep giving them more help. So when those things happen, we can still steady the fort.
Daryl, to kind of piggyback off of one of Keith's questions, just when you look overall at the roster building moving forward, just what are some things that you've identified as far as skill sets, traits, just things you want to add or improve on the court?
I mean, defensively, very important. I guess the reason I'm pausing, because you can tell, is that I often feel like if you go into the off season with, like, we need to fix X, you end up, you know, closing off potential opportunities and avenues. And it's also the day after, so I just think I need to meet with Doc and his staff and our staff and just really get a full picture on what they're seeing. before I give an answer like that.
And Doc, for you, just can you kind of take us through what an off season is like for you as far as how you go into, you know, breaking down film and just kind of
I think it starts with individual development. You know, we go through each player. We'll start that today with some of the guys. You know, again, Max wanted to meet today about his plans for next week. And I refused to meet with him today because I think he should take more off than a week. You know, then also as a staff, you know, we go through, and I was telling our coaches, our players this today, you'd be amazed how much coaches go through yearly. Like, there's no suggestion that we've ever heard outwardly that we haven't already talked about a month ago, you know. But we discuss, we look at our team. The tough part is we don't know what we exactly have, you know. But so we look, the first thing is what we can do better. You know, that's what you do as a coach. That's what you should do as a player.
Daryl, right here, sorry. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how important you think it is to upgrade the bench, especially so you have more viable options in the playoffs in particular.
Yeah, we're excited to do that. I think we've had very good success about, you know, finding guys. You know, we'll have the max resources under the CBA available to us, but a lot of it's going to be finding the right minimum guys, which I think we've had good success. And, you know, I find that to be one of the best parts of the job is how do you, you know, once you've got your main guys in place, which we do, finding the guys who can fit in. And you know, we need to do a better job, but that is the job. That's part of, you know, look, it's part of why I love being in basketball.
And we also made a trade, guys, this year that, you know, once you make that trade, you add the talent, but then, you know, three goes out, one goes, you know, it does hurt your bench a little bit. And we understood that when we did it, but we thought it was the right thing to do for the long term.
Daryl, you've mentioned the word unlocked a few times with James. Do you think that there's a level or multiple levels that he can go up from what he showed over the past couple months, or do people need to readjust their expectations for what he is going forward?
Well, I think he's an incredibly talented player, just like Joel, just like Tobias, you know, and I'm excited for Doc and his staff to have a whole offseason, work with the players and come up with, you know, the best plan for, you know, the roster we'll have, which we don't know exactly, as we just mentioned, the bench, how that's going to look, and, you know, which players on the roster are we going to, you know, feel like are core going forward, and which ones are the ones where maybe we can get an acquisition, it might help. So once we have that in place, I'm excited for what the coaching staff can, you know, come up with, and versus obviously because of our circumstances, you know, having it all come together in February makes it very difficult, I mean, to try and figure out how to use the word unlock again, unlock, you know, all the different skills of the players and how they can work together.
So is that a yes, he does have levels to get to, or do people need to readjust their expectations?
I mean, I think we all know he's a very skilled player, and we'll figure out how to use him. So.
And just one thing quick, he said last night that he plans of being back. Obviously, there's a negotiation that has to go into that. Do you anticipate any potential issues with that, or do you fully expect him to be back next year?
That's the plan, is to have him back. That's been the plan since the trade. Obviously, we have to work with his representation, and that'll be between us to figure out how that works.
And just, Doc, real quick, you got a little emotional talking about Tyrese before. I was just curious, you know, you've obviously coached a lot of players. Mm-hmm. What causes that reaction?
I think it's always two ways, you know. I love players who love the game and who are committed to just winning. You know, it's funny. He works to be a better player, but what Tyrese really wants at the end of the day is to win. And you have an emotional attachment to players like that, and I always will. I coach that way to our guys, and I try to get that out of them to be emotional, you know, about winning and to sell out about winning. That's been my secret in a lot of ways to success. And with him, you don't have to do it. You know, last night he was just hurting. And for me, that was really cool. you know, second-year player. I know in my second year, I don't even know if I even felt anything. You know, I was too dumb to know it, you know. And so it was really a cool conversation.
Daryl, just kind of like piggyback off of what Tim said. I mean, just for clarity, when you look at James right now, do you see him more as a facilitator than he was at Houston, James?
Look, James is a great player. Like, I don't think we need to get he has the ability to score, pass. He's a very good player. We're excited for the future with him. So
you assured us that Doc will be back next year. What really
are we strenuously objecting? You wanna?
No, I'm not. Okay. You know, you just said I assured, and you know, I just want to know, you know, what was it about, you know, Doc? Was he like put in a tough situation with the Ben and the trade? And
I just think he's a great coach. He's a great coach. I love working with him. I feel like I'm learning from him. You know, he's I think Elton and I and him make a great team. And, you know, we're going to see where this journey takes us, but we feel very good about where it's going to take us, and it's going to be where we have a very good chance to win the title.
Darryl Drewell was quick to say yesterday that he didn't really, you know, he's not the GM, he's not the coach, but how much do you value his input as far as team building, as far as him saying the team needs to be a little bit tougher?
I think the best teams are having constant dialogue with their players. I think Doc does that a great job with that. I think Joel has, you know, a very, I'd say, appropriate amount of – he has questions. He wants to understand the plan because then he wants to go execute it. And he has a lot of faith in what's happening and – you know, again, I think it's much easier to execute a plan as a player when you feel like you're having that dialogue, and that's been how it's been.
Daryl, Joel, after the game last night, he said that it's not exactly the Houston version of James, that he's more of a facilitator now. I think you probably have a better perspective on that than anybody, you know, watching him throughout his career. I guess, you know, seeing – you know, the changes in his games and also seeing him play with your team for 3 months or so, how does that kind of affect, you know, how you go trying to build around him and Joel?
Well, I think a lot of what Joel was saying is that I think I knew it, but until you have a guy on the team, you don't know how good of a passer he is. So I think a lot of what Joel was seeing there was someone who was a better passer than he expected. I think James did a really nice job finding guys, maybe getting the ball to Joel and others on the team more than people might have anticipated based on what they understood. But look, he's a great player. I think we can unlock him more. And, you know, we're excited for going forward. But, he is a very good passer, so I'm glad Joel pointed that out.
Daryl, you mentioned after trading for James that it was very important to keep Matisse in that deal. Does the way things played out at the end of the year with his ineligibility for the road games in Canada and not being a starter anymore, does that change your view of where he fits here at all? And do you see him as a long-term piece for this organization?
Yeah, I think with, you know, everyone on the roster, quite a few guys would wanted to play more, but you can only play so many. I think, you know, Matisse is someone who's got an elite defensive component. And I think, you know, he's looking at himself and saying, like, how can I improve and contribute in other ways? And in the playoffs, and Doc and I were talking about this this morning, you know, the players who are sort of extreme, sort of one-way type players get – it's challenging in the playoffs. It's challenging for the coaches. It's challenging for the players. I think for Matisse, his, you know, mission, which he knows, is how can he improve in ways that makes him someone that can make more of an impact in the playoffs. And I think he will in the future. But, you know, yeah, I hope I addressed you. I think I answered your question.
And he's working on it. I can tell you that. Like, you know, it is difficult. One-way players are better in the regular season than the playoffs. I think we all know that. But Matisse is putting in the time. We hired the right resources as far as staffing, shooting coaches, and everybody. And more importantly, the right resources, Matisse and his work ethic. He's putting in the work. You know, it's gradual. It's called being patient. And we are, but I think it makes us more patient because he works at it. You know, we would be less patient if we didn't think he was working at it. You know, and the fact that he's working at it, there were improvements. He became a better cutter this year. You know, he ran the floor better this year. You know, and the next step is, you know, to improve his shot, which we're working on every day. And that's going to be his marching orders this summer.
Doc, just real quick, in terms of the younger guys, like Paul Reed, Isaiah Joe, Jaden Springer, what kind of goals do
Big
you have laid out for them?
And each guy is different. You know, it's funny, Paul Reed in the meeting today, I really start talking about winning today in the locker room, like way off subject and usually an exit meeting. And the reason we love him is because, you know, I'm talking and about work and all of a sudden he stands up and he's starting to like stretch like we're about to start practice right now, you know, but his energy and the kid wants to get it right, you know, this year with him in particular, like just getting him to understand like who he is and how he could be a better player now, you know, it took a while and it grew and, you know, he started really focusing on execution and being in the right spot. And he did that and eventually he earned minutes. You know, Isaiah Joe, like, I look at him and I look at the shot. And you know, there's so many other things that he has to work on and improve to get on the floor. But this summer is important for him. Jaden, too. Jaden is young, you know. 19? Is he 19 yet?
Yeah.
19 years old. He's the youngest player in the NBA last year. He's already got an NBA body. And I'm probably outnumbered in this, I think he's got a chance to be an elite defensive player. He has a lot of offensive things he has to work on. So, and then Charles, you know, I love that kid. Like, I don't know if he's ready yet. I would say staff-wise, you know, he needs to get stronger. Gets pushed around pretty easy. Offensively, he's raw, but not as raw as you think. I think of the guys, he's got the chance to have a huge summer. You know, as far as development, we need him to, and we're going to push him. You know, got to get him stronger. That's the number one thing.
Doc, Matisse just said that Danny is different from all other players in that every time he gets hurt, he comes back out onto the bench. What did it mean to you? You've talked about maybe Danny being a coach in the future, but what did it mean to you? What did it say about his character that he insisted on coming back out for those last
years? Yeah, it's just cool. And you know, again, I'm very emotional towards veterans, you know, Paul Millsap again and DJ. You know, there's a chance, like Paul Millsap, it was his last game. It's a chance. DJ was his last game. And hopefully, if, you know, with injury, same could be for Danny. And we hope none of those are true. But, you know, having been a player to play 13 years and understanding what you go through to get your body in shape, I thought it was cool that Danny came out. I think he wanted to be out. You know, talking to him, he was another late night call last night, and just talking to him, you know, it was awesome. You know, what I love about Danny is he's played 1,000 years, and he's still – like has this zest to show up every day and play every day and loves it every day. He has not lost any energy as far as wanting to be a player. And I think, you know, I'm telling you as a coach, you don't get a lot of those. And so he's a valuable guy to have on our team. And obviously when he went out, I don't know, that hurt us. Not only just his play, but emotionally that hurt us.
Daryl, over the last 2 years since you've been here, you've, you know, made a priority to sort of get in older players behind your starters like Dwight and you know, this year, DeAndre. And then you play a team like Miami that has some younger guys like Strus or Toronto. Is it maybe time to value younger, cost-effective pieces behind your starters?
Well, I think you need a mix of both. I think one thing that the coach has done a really good job is mixing. It's not easy mixing veterans with, you know, young players who have really taken big leaps forward, like Maxey and even Paul Reed at the end. And so I think you need a mix, and it's really sort of opportunistic, obviously, between, you know, what they their potential and what what resources you have to go get them in free agency.
I mean, this question with no disrespect, but I'm asked this.
But you're about to disrespect somebody. I'm ready.
No, I just want to. Okay, so you know, I covered the Sixers. This is my ninth year. You know, when you two guys came here, you know, Doc, a future Hall of Fame coach, ninth all time in wins. You one of the most renowned executives. Why has it been so hard for this organization to get out of the second round? And I'm just saying, when you two came, everybody thought it was going to be instant. You know what I mean? Thought
well,
it was,
I'll
it's
answer
going to be
that. Changed. It's okay. Because winning's hard, Keith. You just don't show up and just say, okay, guys, we're moving on. It's hard. We're not the only organization. You know, winning is hard to move on. And we had an opportunity last year. Didn't get it done. This year was tough. I mean, obviously, with all the injuries and stuff. So the answers are easy. It's hard. We're right there. We've put ourselves in the argument. And that's all you can do. And then you come back and you keep working at it until you get over the mountain. But just because you maybe you want us to or don't, or I think you do, and maybe and the fans definitely do, doesn't mean, okay, it happens. Milwaukee, you look at them, took 2 and 3 years to get over the mountain. You know, they kept failing, and then they did. You know, and so that's just the way it works. You know, and it's not guaranteed to anybody. That would be my answer.
Do you have anything to say to that?
No, Doc's got it.
Darryl, with Danny suffering this injury that, you know, we're still waiting on whatever the results are, but a guy who was pivotal to the rotation late in the year and also as one of the only movable contracts you guys have if you want to try to, you know, stitch together a deal, how much does that compromise your ability to change this roster if changes are necessary?
I mean, we're just mostly focused on Danny right now. He gave so much to us. I was really hoping, the fourth ring on four different teams would be here this year. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about it. I'm just being honest. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I think our focus more right now is on his health and getting him right. He's going to get some news shortly that could be good or bad. And, you know, I think that's where our focus is right now.
And to our earlier conversation, I mean, he does bring value on both ends. And that, you know, showed in the playoffs and how he really, really took us, you know, really stepped up for the team. And I don't think, you know, I won't forget it. He's someone who's going to be around basketball a long time. He loves it. He's very intelligent, and we're hoping for good news on the injury, that was a tough one for everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.